Grace and peace to all, and welcome to chapel today. It's good to see you. I want to thank Carolyn Keller for providing our service music today. And behind me, I have some wonderful student readers. We have Sophie Slocum and Patrick McLean and Angela Bauman and Katie Jenkins will be reading today. We'll have some special music provided by Mariella Shaker. And I also want to acknowledge Brett Van Zee and Emma Galran are up running our sound and lights, and they'll be busy today. So I really appreciate everyone's participation in the service today. You'll see our students have come to this service with great reverence. They don't just get up here and do it. They rehearse it, and they take it seriously, and I really appreciate them and their faith for that. So thanks to all of you. Just a quick word of announcement. You'll see on the back of the bulletin, I have the schedule of our chapel services through the rest of the semester, so there's not many left. And I wanted to make sure that you know that next Monday, since we're on Easter break, we will not have chapel. But today's service will be a little different for those of you who may not have experienced it yet. This is our Holy Week service, and it's actually one of my favorite services of the year. It's a very dark service. We follow Jesus through the scripture readings on his journey to the cross. This service will end in darkness. As it says in the bulletin, Jesus' death was the end of everything. The disciples thought that was it. And so there's no blessing at the end. We'll just sit in the darkness. You can meditate on Jesus' death, and then please leave in silence. I appreciate this service. One, because I think we fail to notice the profound power of our Christian rituals and symbols. We don't have to do much to embellish it. It's powerful, and it's a powerful story all on its own. So you see, it's a very simple service, but it's also very powerful. And also because I really don't believe that we can truly appreciate the joy of Easter Sunday until we've experienced the darkness and the death of Good Friday, where this service ends. So I invite you to join me now in worship, and we'll begin. I invite you to stand with the opening prayer. Merciful God, open our minds and our hearts to receiving your word today. Save us from any hardness of heart that might lie within us, so that as we experience Christ's final days, we might also repent, confess our sin, and receive your abundant, unconditional love. Bless us in this time of worship as we follow Christ to the cross. Amen. And our opening hymn is number 223 in your hymnals, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross.
Thank you. today's reading, we remember how 6 days before Passover, Jesus entered Bethany, where Lazarus, so recently raised from the dead, was living. Lazarus and his sisters invited Jesus to dinner at their home. Martha served. Lazarus was one of those sitting at the table with them. Mary came in with a jar of very expensive aromatic oils, anointed and massaged Jesus' feet, and then wiped them with her hair. The fragrance of the oils filled the house. Judas Iscariot, one of Jesus' disciples, even then getting ready to betray him, said, "Why wasn't this oil sold and the money given to the poor? It would have easily brought 300 silver pieces." He said this not because he cared 2 cents about the poor, but because he was a thief. He was in charge of their common funds, but also embezzled them. Jesus said to Judas, "Leave her alone. She's anticipating and honoring the day of my burial. You always have the poor with you. You don't always have me."
On Tuesday of Holy Week, we read and remember how Jesus' soul was troubled as the day of his death approached. "Now my soul is troubled," Jesus said, "yet what should I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it is for this reason I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven, "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again." The crowd that was standing there heard this voice and said it must have been a thunder. Others said, "An angel has spoken to him." But Jesus said, "The voice didn't come for me, but for you." At this moment, the world is in crisis. The ruler of this world will be thrown out. And I, as I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself. Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death he was going to die. But the people in the crowd answered him, "We have heard from God's law that the Messiah lasts forever. How can it be then that the Son of Man must be lifted up? And who is this Son of Man?" Jesus said to them, The light is with you for a little longer. Walk while you have the light, so that the darkness may not overtake you. If you walk in the darkness, you do not know where you are going. While you have the light, believe in the light, so that you may become children of light."
Thank you. On Wednesday of Holy Week, we read and remember how Jesus singled out his betrayer. While eating the Passover meal with his disciples, Jesus became visibly upset and then said, "One of you will betray me." The disciples looked around at one another, wondering who he was talking about. One of the disciples, the one Jesus loved dearly, was reclining against him, his head on his shoulder. Peter motioned to him to ask who Jesus might be talking about. So he said, "Master, who?" Jesus said, "The one to whom I give this crust of bread after I've dipped it." Then he dipped the crust and gave it to Judas, son of Simon Iscariot. After Judas received the piece of bread, Satan entered him. Jesus said to Judas, "Do quickly what you are going to do." No one at the table knew why Jesus said this to Judas. Some thought that since Judas was their treasurer, Jesus was telling him to buy what they needed for the feast, or that he should give something to the poor. But Judas, with the piece of bread in his hand, immediately left the room, and it was night.
On Monday, Thursday, we read and remember how Jesus ate his last Passover meal with his disciples. During this supper, Jesus, knowing that he had come from God and was going back to God, got up from the table, set aside his robe, and tied a towel around himself. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the feet of the disciples and dry them with a towel. When he got to Simon Peter, Peter said, "Master, you will never wash my feet." But Jesus said to him, "Unless I wash you, you have no share with me." Simon Peter responded, "Lord, not my feet, only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "If you've already bathed, you only need your feet washed now. My concern is for holiness, not hygiene. So now you are clean." After he had finished washing the disciples' feet, he took his robe, put it back on, and went back to his place at the table. Then he said, "Do you understand what I have done to you? You address me as teacher and master, and rightly so. That is who I am. So if I, the master and teacher, wash your feet, you must now wash each other's feet. What I've done, you do. My children, I am with you only a little longer. So I give you a new commandment, that you love one another, just as I have loved you. You also should love one another."
Thank you.
and remember how Jesus and his disciples left the upper room where they had eaten together, went across the Kidron Valley to a place where there was a garden. Judas, his betrayer, knew the place because Jesus and his disciples went there often. So Judas brought a detachment of soldiers together with police from the chief priests and the Pharisees, and they came to the garden with lanterns and torches and weapons. Jesus, knowing all that was to happen to him, went out and met them, asking, "Whom are you looking for?" They answered, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus replied, "I am he." Simon Peter, who was carrying a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's slave, cutting off his right ear. Jesus said to Peter, "Put away your sword. Am I not to drink the cup that the Father has given me?" So the soldiers, their officer, and the Jewish police arrested Jesus and bound him.
They took Jesus to Pilate's headquarters, the Roman governor. Pilate came out to them and said, "What charge do you bring against this man?" They answered, "If this man were not a criminal, we would not have handed him over to you." Pilate said to them, "Take him yourselves and judge him according to your law." But the Jews replied, "We are not permitted to put anyone to death." Then Pilate summoned Jesus and asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered, Are you asking this of your own, on your own, or did others tell you about me?" Pilate replied, "I am not a Jew, am I? Your people and your high priests have handed you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered him, "My kingdom is not from this world. If my kingdom were from this world, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here." Pilate went out to the Jews and told them, "I find no case against this man. It's your custom that I pardon one prisoner at Passover. Do you want me to pardon the king of the Jews?" The people shouted in reply, "Not this one, but Barabbas." Barabbas was a bandit.
So Pilate took Jesus and had him flogged. And the soldiers wove a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they dressed him in a purple robe. They kept coming up to him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews," and striking him in the face. Then Pilate handed him over to be crucified. So they took Jesus, and carrying the cross by himself, he went out to what is called the place of the skull, which in Hebrew is called Golgotha. There they crucified him, and with him two others, one on either side, with Jesus between them.
Pilate also had a sign written and put it on the cross. It read, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." Many of the Jews read the sign because the place where Jesus was crucified was right next to the city. When the soldiers had crucified Jesus, they took his clothes and divided them up four ways, to each soldier a fourth. Meanwhile, standing near the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing beside her, he said to his mother, "Woman, here is your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Here is your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her into his own home. After this, when Jesus knew that all was now finished, he said, "I am thirsty." A jar full of sour wine was standing there. So they put a sponge full of the wine on a branch of hyssop and held it to his mouth. When Jesus had received the wine, he said, "It is finished." Then he bowed his head and gave up his spirit.